It's Wednesday and time for our weekly Fargo Force Coaches Conversation. I'm joined now by assistant coach of the Force and Jimmy Spratt. Coach, heading into this final weekend before Christmas, your squad is riding a three-game winning streak right now. You're 6-2, 1-1 over the last 10 overall, so a couple of those games that you didn't get the victory in, you forced overtimes and shootouts as well. Does it feel like this team is starting to come together and starting to fire on all cylinders at this point?
Yeah, I think we're playing well. To say we're firing on all cylinders, that's tough to say because I still think there's things we can improve upon and be better at. But certainly we're playing well and we're getting results. And like you said, even those games that we haven't won, we've picked up points, which is pretty huge. If you look at the standings in the Western Conference, it's definitely tight.
The couple of games you've had since December began were both against Lincoln, two really tight victories. You had 4,100 fans and the Friday night matchup, the Saturday, you had 3,800. What has the atmosphere been like at Shields Arena with having that place pretty close to full capacity? I mean, right about 4,000 people each night the last couple of games and a smaller kind of reserve sample size there. I can only imagine it'll increase game by game as it gets a little bit colder and people try and get themselves out of the house as well.
Yeah, it's been awesome. I mean, it's brand new for me since it's my first year here, so I didn't know what to expect, but I think the support has been tremendous. Whole operation of this organization is tremendous. I mean, I had my parents come down for a weekend, and they were just kind of taken back just how professional things were run and, everything from the fan engagement, to the amount of people, everything. It's great, and I think that's what makes the Fargo Force a great organization and why people want to come here.
Now seeing a larger chunk of a sample size from the main goaltender, Alan Lendeck, for your squad, a 916 save percentage. He's got himself a shutout. He is playing really well overall with that 2.27 goals against average. What have you seen out of him over the last couple of months as he continues to develop as a juniors hockey goaltender and I'm sure having that goal of playing at the next level kind of step by step?
Yeah, you can certainly see his confidence has grown, his consistency has grown. When I first got here, I certainly saw the ability right away. But in the early goings of the season, it was kind of a little up and down. I think one thing that has helped is, just kind of been giving him a rest a little bit. There was a good chunk of play there when we were rotating goalies. So I think that kind of helped him just playing every other night. It was a little bit easier for him. I think that got him playing well and got the confidence up. And then we started, playing him back to back, and he's handled that really well. So it's a great start for him, and he's off to the World Junior Tournament in Canada representing Team Slovakia. So the net will be Damian Slavics for now. So a good opportunity for him, and hopefully when he can get going, because he's kind of dipped a little bit. So I think if he gets going and then Alan gets back, hopefully we can get back to that 1A, 1B type situation.
As you just mentioned there with heading off to that World Junior Challenge for Alan, Damian, as being for somebody who maybe hasn't seen a ton of Force hockey yet this year, for somebody who is just going to see him for the first time this upcoming weekend, what style of play does he have and what does he present for Force hockey as compared, or not even necessarily compared to, but just maybe in a contrasting comparison to Lendeck a bit?
Well, they are contrasting goalies for sure. I think Alan's kind of a smaller, and he's still 6 foot, but he's a little bit smaller, kind of a more mobile goaltender. You'll see a lot of, cross crease splits, kind of like acrobatic type saves, where Damian is, I don't know exactly, maybe 6'4". I mean, he's a huge target in the net. He's a little more reserved. He kind of hangs in the blue paint. If we play a sound defensive game, that gives him the best chance. Like if it's kind of, from the perimeter and he sees it, like he's going to stop everything. So he's not going to get beat with many straight line shots, but we're going to have to keep the rush chances against to a minimum.
With your goaltenders, of course, you have to be able to have the mental capacity and really the ability to process things in a hurry and to be able to have those quick reactions to play that position, whether it's a deflected puck or it's trying to figure out a breakaway, things of those sorts. But when you look at some of the defensemen for the squad this year, whether it's Sam Larrilla, Finn McLaughlin, or Matt Leahy and those type of guys, how have they been able to build up their chemistry and help the goaltending room be a little bit more successful as we get deeper and deeper into the season?
Yeah, I mean, defense is a big part of it. And not only the defensemen, I mean, it's a five-man unit on the ice, so it's all five guys who are trying to play a system and play team defense. But, you know, talking about our defensemen, there's certainly some good size back there. I mean, Matt Leahy's a big guy. You know, you mentioned McLaughlin and Larrilla, who are away at the World Junior A's, and another guy who's taken just a huge step the past month has been Hayes Hundley. He's kind of taken advantage of getting more opportunity, and he's another big guy as well. So we've got a lot of size on the back end, which helps, and I think our defensive play has continued to get better throughout the season.
When you have those guys that are getting these opportunities, from your perspective as a coach, just how important is it for a younger player to be able to get in at this level and get those extra handful of sets and be able to get more ice time when you do have some of those star players that are going to be moving on after this season to the college level and hopefully professionals at some point? Just how crucial is it to be able to get those extra opportunities, especially for a younger guy who's trying to find his role in this league?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, and you have an opportunity every day with with practice. You know, you're showcasing what you can do every single day. We're not just watching games, we're evaluating in practice too. But with that being said, I mean, there's nothing like game reps, you know, just the speed of the game, the reads you have to make, like everything's different in a game. So again, it's big for those guys to kind of get the opportunity now with those other players away. You know, because, you know, if they make a mistake, well, they got to go back out on the ice because it's what we have right now. So I think that's another thing too. They can kind of play a little less timid, a little more free, knowing that they're going to get put back on the ice.
As we look ahead now to this weekend, you guys, one final weekend series before you disperse for the holidays, for Christmas, for guys to get back home and spend some time with family. You get Sioux Falls in the Stampede. What are the challenges that they present from down the interstate, and how do you guys balance going into that final weekend? Do you try and take a couple extra chances knowing that you have some extra time to recover your bodies afterwards? How do you approach this weekend?
Yeah, well, I mean, I know they're a really good team. We haven't played them yet in the regular season. I know analytically they're a really good team. Their goal differentials, one of the best in the league. And I think they've, looking at the standings, they've scored 85 goals in 22 games, so they've got a lot of offensive firepower. So, I mean, how we handle the weekend, I mean, we still follow our process. I mean, our game doesn't change a whole lot depending on our opponent. We have to kind of do what we do and do it well. So, yeah, I mean, you're right, though. We've got two more games before the break, so I think you kind of want to sell out here, knowing that, you know, these guys have a bunch of time off and they'll catch up on rest over the break.
Knowing that you guys have that three-game winning streak going right now, Sioux Falls is playing as well as anybody in the league. They have 8 wins in their last 10 games, and the 2 losses, one was in overtime, one was in a shootout. At this point, are you guys able to do anything to use that home ice advantage to try and get them off their game a little bit to be able to, you know, ideally put a blemish or two on their record going into Christmas break?
I mean, if we're talking home ice, I mean, you know, the crowd certainly helps, but you could also argue that it, you know, it fires up the away team as well. I think the biggest thing with home ice is you get the matchups that you want. You get to, you know, your last change. So that'll help. And And I know, as mentioned, you know, we've got a couple of our top players out, but so do they. But clearly they've proven that they can win without them, as they've won 8 out of their last 10. So it's going to be hard. I mean, they are, you know, we're in first place, but they've got games in hand on us. I think they've got the highest winning percentage in the league. So I think it's going to be a good benchmark for our team. Kind of, you know, it's not mathematically the halfway point, but you kind of look at Christmas break as a halfway point. So I think it's going to be an awesome test to be playing, you know, the best at this point in the year before we, you know, head home to rest up for the second half.
I know I had, in closing with you today, Coach, we had talked a little bit with Coach Skinner last week about the whole process of this Christmas break. But after that game on Saturday evening against Sioux Falls, you guys have 2 full weeks until you come back and you head to Waterloo to battle the Blackhawks in a matchup. How does that whole time frame from your perspective work? For I got to imagine guys are flying home and then they're flying back a couple days beforehand, and I'm sure you're going to visit family as well. How does that whole time kind of give you an opportunity to stay sharp but also give you time to take some time off the ice and to rest and regroup before you hit the back half of the schedule, as you had mentioned?
Yeah, well, they're going to have to stay sharp because we get back the day after Christmas, the 26th. I believe we travel the 27th and we play the 28th. So they're going to get kind of thrown right back into the fire, and it's a bunch of games right away. So physically staying sharp is, you know, they're going to have some accountability. Hopefully wherever they're going, they can jump on the ice. And I know they'll be sent home with a strength and conditioning program from our strength coach. So they're going to have to, you know, be honest with that, because, you know, like we said, we're right back into it. So, you know, physically that's what they're going to have to do. But I think, you know, the mental break is what's going to be big. Just, you know, like I said, we've been going at it since August. So it'll be nice to kind of refresh the mind while still keeping the body physically ready.
Awesome. Well, hey, Coach, thank you for coming at your time. We always appreciate it. You know, I enjoy the holiday off and enjoy some time with family. We look forward to having more conversations with you. We always appreciate you giving us a little bit of an insight to what it's like in the inner works of the Fargo Force.
Thank you.
That was my conversation with Fargo Force assistant coach Jimmy Spratt, as we talked a little bit about the team and, of course, the upcoming holiday with Christmas and the guys being able to disperse for a few days to spend time with family, get some home cooking, and not have to play competitive hockey at least for a couple of days, just to decompress a little bit. I'm sure they'll still be on the ice and doing some different drills and things of those sorts, just making sure that they stay within game shape. As we give an update real quick on the USHL standings headed into this weekend, the Force, as we know, having those 2 games against the Sioux Falls Stampede Friday and Saturday before they head off and break for the Christmas break. First in the Eastern Conference, we'll roll with first, as you have the Muskegon Lumberjacks in first place, 24 games. They have 35 points at a 16-5-2-1 record. Dubuque, the Fighting Saints, still have yet to lose in an overtime or shootout setting. They're in second at 17-7 with 34 points. The Madison Capitals in third. They are 15-5-1-1 for their record with 32 total points. They do have 2 games in hand against both Dubuque and Muskegon. Youngstown, the Phantoms, are 14-9. They also have yet to lose a game in extra time with 28 points. And then 5th through 8th in that Eastern Conference, Green Bay, the Gamblers with 23 points. The Cedar Rapids Rough Riders with 18 points. Chicago Steel have 16 points. And then the USA Hockey National Development Program with 11 points in total. In the Western Conference, the Fargo Force leading the way, actually heading into this weekend through 24 games. They have a record of 15-6-1-2 on the year, 33 points in total. And what's really interesting is through the Force right now, currently with a 3-game winning streak, the longest in the league. You have, without losing in regulation, Sioux Falls and Stampede are 8-0-1-1 over the last 10. Muskegon's won 4 straight. Dubuque, Madison, the USA Hockey National Development Team have all won back-to-back matchups in the Eastern Conference. And then Waterloo is 1-0-2-0 over their last 4 matchups. Last 3 matchups in here. So Lincoln Stars and Sioux Falls Stampede both tied for second right now with 32 points apiece. The difference is Lincoln has yet to lose in extra time. They're 16-8 overall, but Sioux Falls is 15-5-1-1. They actually have two games in hand on both the Force and the Stars, and they have the best percentage in the Western Conference at a 727. The best in the league is actually Muskegon, who has a 729. The Force are sitting at a 688 right now. Both fourth and fifth place in Waterloo with 30 points and Tri-City the Storm with 27 points. They both have played 26 matchups actually this year. So they've played four more games than Sioux Falls to fall 2 and 5 points behind them respectively. 6th through 8th in that Western Conference. Sioux City, the Musketeers with 24 points. The Des Moines Buccaneers with 21. Des Moines in 7th. They are a squad who has actually played well their last 10 as well. They're 6-3-1-1 in their last 10 matchups. So playing some pretty solid hockey as we get close to Christmas. And the Omaha Lancers sitting in the basement of the Western Conference with a record of 6-14-4. They have 16 total points through 24 matchups so far this season. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break here. As we know, the Force on Friday and Saturday are hosting Sioux Falls. So those last two matchups before they break for Christmas. So we'll take a quick break, and then when we come back, I'll have some cuts from head coach Tim Polasek of the Bison football program recapping that second round FCS playoff matchup against Abilene Christian and also previewing that quarterfinal game against Mercer this upcoming weekend. You're listening to Primetime Sports on WDAY Radio. Welcome back to Primetime Sports. Big Game James McCarty, and Primetime Sports is brought to you in part by Valley Imports and Valley Pre-Owned, your best price leader in the region. Find your next vehicle at valleyimports.com. As we look ahead to the Bison football game this weekend, that quarterfinal matchup on Saturday at 2:30 against the Mercer Bears, the number 7 seed in the national tournament. The two national polls are ranked number 8 in the country and number 9 in the country. So they're right about that, or that seed that they have in the national rankings as well. As for the Bison, they're that 2 seed, of course, and they're ranked in the top 4 nationally in every poll that you look at, as per usual for them. Head coach Tim Polasek, he actually had his press conference on Tuesday, and in the beginning of that one, he recapped how he thought the Abilene Christian game went, and then he looked ahead initially to his first thoughts on the matchup against the Mercer Bears this weekend.
Just recapping that, the Abilene Christian game. Number one, I thought we were tight. 2 weeks in a row, we haven't been able to start fast and dictate the terms of the pace and us control the game the way we want to do it and dictate the terms of the fight. You know, I think we need to find, you know, some pure joy in this competition Saturday. You know, there's nothing in the future can occur without respecting what it's going to take to win on Saturday. And so, you know, from the time we start pregame meal and the prep there and the prep starts, we have to be confident looking forward and being excited about 60 minutes of football. I gave some thought to this today. You know, it's interesting just talking about this week's upcoming game. I have oftentimes have had people ask me, you know, hey, are you a Packer fan being from Wisconsin? I say, no, I'm a Packer. We need all Bison to show up for this game. Whoever considers themselves a Bison, we need everybody to be ready to go and be excited. We're excited to be at home and to play and get to defend the Dome again. You know, this is our dirt, right? We need Bison Nation to be the 12th participant in this game. We need to be playing with 12. So let's get to the game early. Let's be loud and let's be proud for 60 minutes. You know, Mercer right now, Coach Jacobs has got these guys thinking right. You know, I just listened to their press conference. Their players are talking right. They're focused on them, you know, playing their style of football. And quite frankly, if I was them, you know, they beat East Tennessee State and it took a Hail Mary, you know, pull off of a comeback victory against them. And so I don't think they have any reason to be afraid of us right now. Our best football is still out there. Four quarters, all three phases, playing together, playing really sharp and clean and tough football. You know, we've been excellent in spurts the last 2 weeks. I mean, absolutely lights out. But there's just too many times we're phasing out on offense and too many times that we're giving up big plays, whether it's the pass game or the run on defense. And so we'll need to sharpen that up in order to get the win this Saturday. Mercer's the only thing on our mind. They have our full attention, and we'll be ready to go.
And I found it interesting in that cut with head coach Tim Polasek that he really hammered in that he didn't think that it was a great performance overall from the team, and something felt off in the preparation aspect, or at least the way that they came out firing, or lack thereof, against that Abilene Christian squad last weekend, and they needed to be better, more consistent. And he even felt as though about 27, 28 minutes before kickoff that something that just felt off and that everybody needed to do their part in preparation, from the coaching staff to the players to the training staff and everybody else in between. And so they are working on improving that when they battle number 7-seeded Mercer here this weekend. Additionally, on top of that, calling out Bison Nation, it was a really low attendance for them, just over 10,000 people in the Fargo Dome. I don't have the exact number in front of me at this very moment, but it was, I do know, the second lowest attended playoff game in recent memory for the Bison since moving up to the FCS. So something that Coach Polisek also called out was, if you called yourself a Bison, not a Bison football player, not a Bison fan, not a anything of that sorts, but if you call yourself a Bison in any capacity, that he and the team needs you to come out there, or needs that support from the community to come out and play against this Mercer squad this weekend. Additionally, when he brought up that East Tennessee State matchup and how the Bison needed that, you know, in program for the program, a historic comeback for them, the onside kick, the Hail Marys, all the different things, and saying that Mercer has no reason to really be fearing the Bison in any capacity. So that's something that also is being used to fuel up this team, fuel up this program, and hopefully get these guys excited, ready to go in the capacity of, it seems as though, you know, for whatever reason, the wording that he had used, and it feels like this game isn't big enough for some of the guys. The quarterfinals doesn't feel big enough for them. The second round doesn't feel big enough. But Coach said specifically that this week is their Super Bowl for the quarterfinals. They need to play together, clean, and as a unit if they're going to want to advance to the national semifinals this next weekend. And that leads a bit into this next cut, where he gets a little bit deeper into this matchup against Mercer. And Coach is not going to say the name of any of the players for Mercer. He will specifically bring up edge rushers. He'll bring up the tailback. He'll bring up all kinds of different players, but he only uses their numbers because, in his words, Mercer and the Bears, they are a faceless opponent this weekend, and the Bison need to get back to that and be able to execute at a high level to be successful as they go back to the Fargo Dome for this quarterfinal matchup this weekend. So here's that cut.
Well, they're very good on defense. I mean, quite frankly, let's go there first. I mean, they've got the defensive end player of the year on defense. You know, they have the freshman of the year is the other defensive player, you know, the other DN. They've got two guys with 7 interceptions. They got a D tackle that made honorable mention. A linebacker that's been honored 3 times in their league that was a first team performer, number 3. And I'm not naming their names today because this is a faceless opponent. I went into the archives. We're going to get back on some topics that we've used in the past. They're plus 11 in the turnover ratio. Most impressively, they get off the field 75% on third down. Okay, so, you know, 42 sacks, number 1 in the country. 23 INTs, number 1 in the country. 75% win rate on third down, number 1 in the country. We're going to have to be on top of our stuff. Offensively, player of the year in their league is a running back, number 3. He's a good player, averaging 5.24 yards per carry. And then they still throw for 200 yards. They want to establish the run, and they want to run the football. I think they want to do a really as good a job as they can, you know, on third and longs and on third and, you know, plus 6-7 of protecting the football, making it a 60-minute game. They're really comfortable playing in that, you know, kind of that strike zone. And that's kind of who they are. They're well coached and they're well prepared. Like I said, I have a lot of respect for the things they were talking about. You know, let's focus on us. It's not about North Dakota State. I think this squad's going to be ready to go and thinking right. We're going to need to play our best football this season.
And I found a really interesting way for Coach Polisek to communicate to the media, to the community, and also his players, and using only the numbers of the star players, the all-conference players, the starters, whatever words you want to use for those players for Mercer that are really standout athletes that have excelled on the field here this season, and getting back to the task at hand, getting back to that brand of business that is all about being exceptional and to not lower the standard at all, to only be raising that standard each and every rep, each and every game, each and every play, and everything else in between. So I found that very interesting from Coach Polisek, and in trying to, you know, break down before we wrap up the show here, this game for these two teams, the series, all those different things. Well, this will be the first meeting between North Dakota State and Mercer. But with a couple of comparisons, you have the Bison are 9-0 all-time against Southern Conference teams, including that 38-35 victory at East Tennessee State back in September. Mercer has only played in one game against the Missouri Valley Football Conference team. That was a 41-0 loss at South Dakota State in the second round of the FCS playoff back in last December of 2023. So not a lot of history between these programs and even this conference or these conferences as a whole. So something kind of interesting to be looking at and to be dialing up in as we get closer and closer to kickoff on Saturday. Once again, the Bison, the 2 seed in the FCS playoff at 11-2. Mercer, the 7 seed at 11-2. The share of the Valley went to the Bison, one of 3 shares of it between the Bison, South Dakota State. And then you have Mercer, the Southern Conference champion for the SoCon champion here as they meet up in the quarterfinals of this Division I football championship playoff matchup. It's Saturday at 2:30, and the game will be nationally televised on ABC, the ABC family of affiliates. So if you're looking for it, you can find it there, and you'll be able to watch that game if you can't make it in person. One final thing before we wrap up, I want to say thank you to Hornbackers for being a friend of the show, partner of the show, and also a sponsor of the scoreboard in our high school athletics that we do here on our family of stations between WDAY Radio and also the Flag as well. Those quick and easy grab-and-go meals, the deli department that they have, if you want something hot that's ready to go, you can get it there. If you want something cold that's ready to go, you can get it there. If you want something that you just need to go warm up in the microwave or in the oven when you're on your way home, they have all that stuff available. So go check that out. And, of course, as always, we always appreciate you tuning into the show. It's not possible without you, the listener. And have a great rest of your night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night. God bless.